From the studios at Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. More Idaho Matters right now. For more than 60 years, humans have been exploring space, from launching the first satellite to the moon landing to sending a rover to Mars. Now, these breakthroughs have changed not just how we see our universe, but the way we live in it. And today, that exploration continues. So as NASA persists in their trek to the final frontier, we thought we'd take a look at what's in store for our next 20 years in space. And joining us today to do that is Paul Nelson. Welcome to the program, Paul.
Hello. Good to meet you.
So, Paul, how did you first get interested in the space program? And have you been involved in any NASA projects?
I think like a lot of people that grew up in the 50s, I grew up before people actually went into space. So I read about them, watched the space movies, and I think there was this, that sense of exploration and adventure that most kids have. And then watched the early parts of the space program. In California, I had to get up at 3 or 4 a.m. to see the launches in Florida. So I was a total space nerd at the time. Watched them, all the Mercury program, the Apollo, and then, of course, watched people walk around for the first time on the moon. Uh-huh. As far as my personal involvement, I worked for Ball Aerospace, which is a NASA contractor. And we made parts for the shuttle and for the Hubble Space Telescope. And then I worked on several, I think, interesting projects that would probably be only notable if you were an amateur astronomer or space person. But
so, Paul, why is it, in your opinion, best to look at these space projects within a 20-year time frame?
There's a lot of press about things that we could do and might do or that are aspirational goals, hotels in space and trips to the stars and of course, landing on the moon. But I think until it's actually on the schedule, it's really hard to say, yeah, it looks like this is going to come up and is actually going to happen.
So that would be
within 20 years.
Okay, so with that said then, what notable space projects are coming up in the future?
I think you're going to see the press dominated by the Artemis project, the trip to the moon. There's 11 of them scheduled, and so that's, you know, it'll be promoted as back to the moon, and will involve a lot more than we did the first time, actually landing on the moon, having rovers, setting up a laboratory long-term on the moon, for instance, up to a year with Artemis 11. So that's going to be a big one. More trips to Mars. What might be notable is we're going to try to actually bring some samples back from Mars. I think we're still a ways off. We're past the 20-year milestone for actually getting people to Mars, so wouldn't expect that. Beyond that, more trips to the star, or more trips to the planets. So trips to Jupiter, Saturn. There'll be trips to Mercury, Venus. So a lot of stuff. Nearby asteroids.
Mm-hmm. So I want to go back to the moon for a minute. Let's talk a little bit more about why we are going back to the moon. I mean, why do that, and why have so many missions? And as you said, you know, would this be, you know, astronauts potentially living on the moon for a year?
It's interesting. A good question, and one I've asked myself, is why after 50 years are we going back now?
Yeah.
And part of that is just purely competition. It's kind of like a mini Cold War. So not only are we going back, but China has programs, Japan has programs, India has programs, Russia has programs. So it's both the insecurity we would feel about people going on without us, plus it's becoming a measure of our technical prowess, plus our ability to demonstrate economically that we're capable of doing that. Beyond that, it's they make no bones about this is to be a stepping stone to Mars. And Mars right now is an aspirational goal rather than a specific goal, meaning it's not yet on the schedule. So if that's true, then if you're going to go to Mars, then you've got to be able to stay long period on in one place and survive, you've got to be able to extract minerals from the area around you, water if you can find it. And we found a spot on the moon that we think actually has ice, and so we're going to experiment with doing that.
Hmm. So a few years ago, we actually celebrated a milestone, and this was humans living in space for 20 years aboard the International Space Station. I mean, not one human has lived there for 20 years, but this has been going on for 20 years. What is the importance of something like that milestone, and is there anything new that will be happening with the International Space Station?
The International Space Station, second question first, is drawing to a close. So I think the Russians are committed to 2024. We're committed to 2030. And then we're going to have a controlled reentry so it doesn't crash into cities. It'll crash into the ocean. But long term, how do people survive for long term in space? What happens to their bodies?
Mm-hmm.
We've learned that people, you spend too long in space, you can't really walk when you come back. Your bones begin to decalcify and you have to, in a sense, readapt all over again. There's a lot of radiation in space. We want to know what the long-term problems might be for that. And then a host of things of what happens to anything from butterfly larvae to manufacturing techniques in weightless environment. Things that you can't really learn unless you have a sustained presence in one place for a while.
Mm-hmm. So what about space tourism? I think we hear a lot about this. There are people that are interested in it. But is that something that we are actually going to see more of in the future?
We actually are going to see more of them. I can't answer to what other competitors might come on, but certainly the Virgin Atlantic and the Bezos Blue Origins, so forth, are taking people in line. If you have $250,000 to $400,000, you can get a place in line. The Virgin Atlantic waiting list is $750,000, so I wouldn't count on your name coming up real soon. But we shall see. You and I probably are not going to go. Our kids probably not. Our grandkids maybe.
Well, I'll put it this way, and I've always said this. I might be the only human on Earth absolutely not interested in going into space. So my name, even if I had that kind of money, wouldn't be on the list.
I'm not sure that 4 minutes of weightlessness and a 10-minute ride would be worth the effort either myself. But I like that if you have 25 to 30 million, you can buy space aboard a NASA flight or a Russian flight and actually go to the space station and hang around for a while. Hmm. That to me would be worth it. But again, I don't have that in my back pocket, so probably won't. And I have a problem with motion sickness too. So I probably, even if someone offers me a free ride, I may have to pass.
You might have to turn it down. Yeah.
Well, Paul,
I want to thank you so much for chatting with us today. Really appreciated the conversation.
You're welcome. It's been good to chat with you also.
Oh, we've been talking with Paul Nelson about the next 20 years in space. Now, if you want to learn more about these programs, Paul will actually be giving a more in-depth lecture about all of this. That'll be next Monday, November 6th, at the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute at Boise State University. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
This is my voice. It can tell you a lot about me, and I'm not changing it for anyone. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of NPR episodes centered on the Black experience. Search NPR Black Stories, Black Truths wherever you get podcasts.